The Ramban is a very interesting division between the Tochacha and Parshas Bechukosai and the Tochacha and Parshas Kitava. The Gemara already notes that one is couched in the divine voice. Hashem is describing his response to our mitzvah observance or his response to our mitzvah betrayal. Whereas in Kitava, Moshe is voicing it as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision, Hashem will, Hashem will. And that's pretty much the Gemara's division. And in that context, the texts are synchronous with their respective backdrops, because Parshas Bechukosai appears in Vayikra, which is divinely voiced, whereas Parshas Kitavo is embedded in Sefer Devarim, which is at least humanly voiced in the terms of a human being, Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Ramban has in many ways, more provocative and certainly more intriguing difference between the two. He feels that the first Tochacha represents the first Galus, the Galus of Bavel, the 70-year exile after the first Beis HaMikdash. Whereas the second Tochacha in Kitavo represents the second Galus of which he is, and at least we are, if not geographically, but at least nationally and experientially, still enmeshed in. And I'll talk about why this is so important after I tell you what he says, but I don't want this to be a longer share, because he really has proofs from both the Tochacha in Bechukosai that it corresponds to the first exile and the first Beis HaMikdash destruction, and respectively he has proofs and indicators, markers from the second Tochacha that it can only apply to the second Galus. I'll limit this year to the markers that appear in Parshas Bechukosai. And there are about four or five different markers. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu directs their attention to all the Avodah Zarah that they worshipped in the first Beis HaMikdash, the Bamos, the Chamanim, the Gidulim, and it's a very, very rich, I mean, unfortunately rich, but it's a very varied and diverse list of Avodah Zarahs that are described. Some of these words, especially Chamanim, we don't have in too many places, certainly in the Torah itself, the Chamish Shechom Sheitara. And this Ramban feels is a direct reflection of the widespread of Avodah Zarah that was rampant in the first Beis HaMikdash that Chazal already detected as the reason for the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And it's not just the widespread of Avodah Zarah, but you have the sense that although it was dominated by Baal Avodah Zarah, there are many forms of Avodah Zarah which unfortunately plagued and infected Am Yisrael. The second Beis HaMikdash, there are many flaws, but we don't have the record of the rampant idolatry of the first Beis HaMikdash. Second of all, the Torah writes, "Oz tirtzeh ha'aretz eshabsoseha," that the land will compensate. Will it's a word? It's not to compensate. Tirtzeh means to accept, to be appeased, or to appease. Namely, Chazal tells us that shmitos were completely abandoned in the first Beis HaMikdash, and the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim tells us that intentionally the 70 years, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Lamed Beis, correspond to 70 Shemitahs, which were ignored during the first Beis HaMikdash. So the first Beis HaMikdash lasts 410 years, so there are about, if you divide by 7, you count in Yovel, there are about 70 years that were neglected and ignored. So there are 70 years of Bavel to allow the land to recover and to recuperate the 70 lost years of Shemitah. We don't really have record of Shemitah abandonment in the second Beis HaMikdash. Ironically, we couldn't keep Shemitah in Atar in the second Beis HaMikdash because only about a sixth of the Jews returned. Since such a small population returned, Shemitah was not there, right, according to most positions. So this is the second proof of the Ramban that the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai, which describes the compensation of Shemitah years, represents the first Galus. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, I will no longer respond to the Reach Nichoach. I will no longer respond to the Korbanos with my heavenly acceptance. The Ramban believes this can only refer in Bechukosai to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, in which there was a Reach Nichoach. Hashem's presence was very clear, was very overt, and the Korbanos were embraced by this fire that descended from heaven. That warning or admonition can't apply to the second Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash was absent of many of the miracles of the first Beis HaMikdash. The fire on the Mizbeach was much smaller, the Gemara says. So Hashem warning that I will no longer embrace your korbanos can only refer to the transition into Galus from the first Beis HaMikdash. So the first three proofs the Ramban cites that Bechukosai parallels the first Galus. Number one, the description of widespread and diverse Avodah Zarah. Number two, the recovery of 70 lost years of Shemitah. Number three, the fact that Hashem admonishes them and laments that he will no longer be as overtly and explicitly present receiving the korbanos, the Reach Nichoach, as he was, clearly a reference to the destruction and the dismantling of the first Beis HaMikdash. Similarly, the Tochacha in Parshas Bichlokosai ends on a very different note than the Tochacha in Parshas Kitavo. It's important to note the distinction between their conclusions. I won't describe the very ambiguous conclusion of Parshas Kitavo, but in Bichlokosai it's unilateral. V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, avas brisi Yitzchak, v'avas brisi Avram Ezkar, v'haaretz Ezkar. I remember both the Bris Avos as well as the covenant of land, because this is a people who have lived in Eretz Yisrael for 410 years, and therefore, even if they're no longer privy or beneficiaries of the Bris Avos, because they may have abandoned it, they still deserve the Bris of Eretz Yisrael. But it doesn't say that Hashem will forgive their sin. It just says, v'hisvadu asavonam misavonu v'seim, they will confess their sins. At the end of Kitavo, there is a discussion of Hashem forgiving, and one of the terms of that forgiveness, and it's the famous machlokus between Blaz and Rabbi Yeshua, whether the forgiveness is unilateral or only in response to mass tshuva. Either way, forgiveness and atonement, absolution, is not described in the end of Parshas Bichlokosai. And Rabban believes that that parallels these mass confessionals that we read about, primarily in Nehemiah, but also in Ezra and Daniel, actually primarily in Daniel, also Ezra and Nehemiah. A lot of these confessionals were performed by a people whose sincerity and genuine motivation was somewhat suspect. They were very deeply immersed in intermarriage in particular, other areas of failure, of religious malfunction. And it's not clear how sincere the vidui was, and this of course is an important lesson of tshuva, that vidui is important even if it's not 100% or completely, absolutely authentic. Many of us are plagued by that prospect that our vidois and our confessionals are not as deeply, deeply honest because we are all planning our quick recidivism, and even if we don't, we know it's inevitable and it's irrepressible. But the Ramban says there's still meaning to that type of vidui, as long as the overall motivation is somewhat, obviously if it's just callous and deceitful, but as long as the pre-motivation is sincere, even though we can't keep pace with our intended authenticity, there still is a value to that type of vidui. So the mass confessional, but the absence of Hashem promising forgiveness, Ramban feels reflects the activity of the flurry of confessions that we read about when Ezra and Nehemiah and obviously when Daniel is in Bavel. Additionally, there's a description of a process of events that will occur. Cherev, warfare, chayara, invasion of animals, deber, pestilence, rav, hunger, and in the end, exile. This parallels the description in Daniel, Perek Lamed Beis, in Yirmiah, Perek Lamed Beis. Not all of them are listed, but some of them are. And in Pasuk Lamed Vav, there's this troika of cherev, rav, and deber. Wild animal invasions, of course, after the wars that we read about. Wild animals, hunger, and pestilence. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu iterates these various elements, so the Ramban suggests that historically the occurrences were seen in the first Beis HaMikdash, not in the second Beis HaMikdash, although the starvation was noted in the second Beis HaMikdash, but certainly not the attack of the animals that we read about in Yirmiah. Finally, and really returning to the Gemara, Ramban says that that's why the first Tochacha is written in the name of Hashem, as if Hashem's speaking, not just because it's written in Sefer Vayikra, but because it was written as from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is very concrete and palpable in the first Beis HaMikdash. His presence was felt, so they felt as if they had betrayed a treaty with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the second Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was more distant, so HaKadosh Moshe was narrating or serving as the intermediary, informing them of their betrayal and the consequences of that betrayal. So the Ramban stacks up five or six proofs. I'm not even discussing the proofs that the second Tochacha correspond to the second Golos, but he stacks up five or six proofs, the presence of Hashem removing his Reach Nichoach, which existed in the first Beis HaMikdash, but not in the second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivering this first-person covenant that has to be first Beis HaMikdash-centric, not second Beis HaMikdash. The description of different Avodah Zarah, Bamos, Chamanim, Gidolim, first Beis HaMikdash malfunction, not second Beis HaMikdash. The recovery of 70 lost years of Shemitah, first Beis HaMikdash abdicating, abandoning Shemitah. the absence of any absolution or forgiveness, but the expression or the copious amount of confessionals, maybe in some ways not fully genuine, that corresponds to the activities of Ezra and Nehemiah and beforehand Daniel. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu issuing the bris, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, ultimately, what's so important about this Ramban is that it goes to reason. Consequently, if there's one tochacha for the first galus and one tochacha for the second galus, then implicitly, there's a guarantee that there's only two galuses. A lot of people wonder, how do we know this is redemptive? How do we know this isn't a farce? How do we know that our return to Eretz Yisrael isn't just an act of the Satan meant to delude us into investing in areas beyond legitimate religious expression? And this is a very important Ramban. The notion that millions of Jews will return to their land and then be exiled, that's a chorban. That's not a pogrom. That's not an expulsion. In many ways, it's hard to really say this because that word is not a word that I can really describe in correspondence or relative to others, but it's even not even a Holocaust. It's really a chorban of a Beis HaMikdash, of people in their land, of expelling people from Eretz Yisrael, which occurred twice in history and can never occur again. By definition, it's embedded in the Torah. It's embedded in the very deeply textual associations between text and history. And that's how we know that we're here to stay. How long it will take, no one knows, but that this is a redemptive moment in Jewish history.